judgment on thine brother. Judgment on thine brother.
There comes a time in life where you should understand things, understand how God operates. And it's to His friends, to His church, that He gives that understanding. I see a lot of people quote the scripture, Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. We wonder why God has hated Esau. But it was God's prerogative of as God to do as He pleases. A lot of times we look at our brethren, our brothers. We wonder why they don't understand, why they don't live the way we do. Why they don't worship the way we do. Why they don't know God. What should we do? This morning I tell you what we should do is love our brothers. Whether they're Islamic, the Muslims, whether they're Catholic, Presbyterian, whether they're Buddhist. Whatever denomination, whatever creed, whatever nation, God has sent us to all nations to preach the gospel and to love one another. And when I say our brother, I mean all men. All men are our brethren because we have one parent as lineage. We all come from Adam and Eve, so that makes all men our brother. We're not all spiritual brothers, though, because there's a seed of the devil in the earth, which is the physical seed, which is also spiritual in a way. But we, the born-again believers, are the seed of Jesus Christ. We are the lineage adopted into a family of Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had provided a way that we become brethren with Him. So the love for our spiritual brothers, a little bit different than the love for your physical brothers. We wonder a lot of times, and in this day and time, especially this political climate, you're getting a lot of your political leaders that want you to hate other people. Those are anti-Christ, anti-God spirits. To cause you to turn on the Muslim, to cause you to turn on anybody due to their religion, creed, nationality, whatever it be, whether it be Hispanics coming in as immigrants, we don't just send them home. They may be at home. You may be the stranger in the land. The ones that you're trying to put out may belong. Christ had given this to them, maybe. You're to one to be expelled. We see where when Israel was on the way to the promised land, on the way there, God told them, don't meddle with Mount Seir. Don't meddle with Seir. I've given that to your brother Esau. I'm not going to give you one foot breadth of their land. We notice a lot of our politicians now advocate the fact that we should take the oil, take those people's land, take things from them. But God told us not to meddle with our brother, and He called them our brother. So what we should be about the business is of winning our brother. Whether God allows them to migrate here, whether God allows them to stay where they are, still our brothers. We're not to teach hate. You can't love God. Those people don't love God that's advocating such things as that. We know that they're not of God. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Jesus' own brothers, which Joseph was a type, because Joseph's brother had a controversy with Joseph, because Joseph stood for what was right. He was Christ-like. He always had a back and forth with him. Jesus Christ had that same conflict in His own home. So if you're going through that conflict, know that it's not strange or anything because Jesus' brothers didn't believe Him. Jesus' brothers was always challenging Him. And they didn't serve God while Jesus was alive. They didn't believe in Jesus. They was always goading Him on. We see the hatred of brothers. Proverbs said that a brother is born for adversity. You grew up with brothers and sisters, you know how that goes back and forth. But this is what he's telling Esau. See, he's dealing with Mount Seir. Mount Seir is Esau. We see in chapter 35 of Ezekiel here where God's dealing specifically with what Esau did to his brother Jacob. Not that Jacob was right, but that Jacob was chosen by God. And that he was Esau's brother, and there are certain things are certain things we should do for our brother. One is to love our brothers. Now, whether Esau was in the Word of God or not, he the one who stole his blessing. He the one who stole his birthright. Whether your brothers or sisters, whether those other nations know the Word of God or not, they're responsible for it. There's going to come a time when God judge all men. Now, Esau didn't learn the Word of God. That's his problem. That's not our problem. You see, we're in the business of making other people's problems our problems, and that's not our problem. Our problem is to try to give the gospel to everybody. Try to do that, not restrict the gospel. In the 10th chapter, chapter 35 of Ezekiel says, "Because you have said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess them, whereas the Lord was there, therefore as I live, says the Lord God, I will treat you according to your anger and according to your envy, which you have shown out of your hatred against them. I will make myself known among them when I have judged you." In other words, he's going to reveal himself to some of them when he has judged this nation, when he has judged this people, when he has judged those that had treated his people wrongly and in the perverse way, then he'll make himself known to others. But then it's going to be too late for you. It's going to be late, too late for the world. It's going to be too late for those that don't know God. Their hatred of their brother. A lack of trust in your brother. Listen at what Jesus, you remember I told you about Jesus' brothers, because you remember Joseph's brothers tried to kill him. They threw him in a pit, but they said it would be wrong to slay our brother. Let's sell him into slavery. Well, Jesus' brothers was the same way. See, Cain and Abel was the same way. It's been that way throughout time. Listen at the book of John, the 7th chapter. John, first verse says, "And this Jesus traveled around Galilee. He wanted to stay out of Judea where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. But soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters. And Jesus' brothers," this is his natural brothers, "said to him." This is Jude who wrote the book of Jude. This is James who wrote the book of James. "These are they of his own household. He said, thine enemies shall be those of your own household." See, your children might not like the God you serve. They might not like the things that you advocate. It might cause a division. That's not my problem now. That's whoever problem it is. That's whoever's offended in Christ. That's their problem. So he says, "Even his brothers," and Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea where your followers can see your miracles. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can't do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers didn't believe in him. Even his brothers didn't believe in him. Jesus replied, "Now is not the right time for me to go. But you can go anytime. The world can't hate you. But it does hate me because I accuse it of wrongdoing. You go on. I'm not going to this festival because my time has not come yet." After these things, Jesus remained in Galilee. But if you keep on reading, we'll see that he went to the festival anyhow. He went undercover. See, because he wasn't a person to try to make a reputation for himself. See, his brothers was of that wicked mind. They say, you can be like a lot of politicians are narcissists. They like to be seen. They like the attention. They like the glamour of things. And they've received their reward here on earth. See, but Jesus' job was to glorify God. It was to do. See, a lot of times your parents don't understand. Your brothers and sisters don't. People don't understand you. But you're not here to clarify things to people. You're here to serve God. That's your purpose, to do the will of God. It's your brothers and sisters. It's their job to find out about this God. God's going to make himself known through judgment to them. And when things start to befall them, when illness and sickness and calamity is coming to their lives, we can try to strengthen them in these. But it's a failure, a lack of knowing God, a lot of times the reason these things come and they fold. That's why a lot of us don't fold when infirmity and calamity and sickness come on, because we know who the man that is in charge of all this. We know the God that has strength to deliver us if so be it. But we like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if he don't deliver us, we still won't cave in under pressure. not the pressures of this world, we won't turn. We shall still slay God, as Job said, though he slay us. It's an attitude, a disposition. It's an attitude, a disposition, what determines whether you're a child of God. It's that frame of mind. Joseph's brothers was wicked. They thought just the same way Jesus' brothers thought. The same way a lot of our people think about things that self-centered, about their own concern. When Joseph's father died, when Jacob died, would they come to Joseph and say, well, father said that you're not to remember what we did against you and that you go easy on us. But Joseph said, that's a wicked thought. What do you think I am? I'm in the place of God. See, if you got wickedness towards your brother, if you're looking for somebody to accuse, if you're looking for somebody to lash out, you need to examine yourself because Christ is not in you. You have the problem. It's not your brother with the problem. It's you with the fault. See, because Christ gives it to you to overcome. If you're in the place of God, you're looking to be the peacemaker. You're looking to imitate Christ. You're looking for a way to be good to your brother. You're looking a way to show them God. See, but if you're trying to get even, if you're trying to get one up, if envy and malice is within you, Christ can't dwell there. That's why it says no way you can hate your brother and love God. No way you can advocate some of these policies or follow some of these people and still be strengthened in the Lord. That's why the church is so weak now. It's attitude or disposition. It's thoughts is what make it children of this world. It's the state of mind. God said, my thoughts are not like your thoughts and my ways are not like your ways. See, that's what makes you bad. It's your mind. It's all in your mind. That's where the struggle is taking place. That's why it says, let this same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Listen to Cain. Cain had that same kind of mind. He had the mind like those Pharisees. It's similar to that of Cain. That Jesus argued that point with them. Cain was of the wicked. Well, this is Cain in Genesis 4:6. God asked him, said, for the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? But if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to dominate you, but you must rule over it. Jealousy and envy cause you to not like your brother. I accepted his sacrifice. But now that I didn't accept yours, you well up against your brother. I can see from the way you're thinking that you're a murderer in heart. Because you can murder your brother with words. One of the politicians was talking about killing reporters. And he said he didn't want to kill reporters. You know what? I think if it was a theological argument, the reporters are right. Because he murdered reporters all the time with his mouth, with his tongue. He has a habit of calling people stupid and ignorant. He said, thou who uses the word judgment of fool is in danger of hellfire. When you judge your brother and call him a stupid, empty-headed fool, you're in the danger of hellfire from God in judgment, because that was a judgment you passed upon your brother. Watch these politicians. Those that you're following this guy, I more or less want to know who all followed him so I could watch them also. Because their thought life is wrong. See, they're like Cain. They're murderers. They're of the evil one. That's why it says Cain was of his father, the devil. He was of his father, the devil. And 1 John goes as far as to say this. 1 John 3:11, starting at the 11th verse. John goes far as to say this. John says, for this is the message which you believers have heard from the beginning of your relationship with Christ, that we should unselfishly love and seek the best for one another. For one another, that's what we should do. That's what the gospel is about. If you're a child of God, if now you're able to preach to others and teach to others, you should unselfishly, not self-centered. See, when you hear somebody boasting about what they can do, it's always about them. Always calling their own name and ringing their own bell. Watch that person. You know that that's not a child of God. You better be shy of that person. They're giving you the wrong mind. For long, you will end up powerless and calamities will come in your life. And you go, wonder why all this is happening. That's because God's trying to turn you, trying to get you to know who He is, that you're going down the wrong path. Like He told Balaam, Balaam was going around along the wrong path. God kept trying to turn him. He says, and not be like Cain, who was of the evil one. They say Cain was of the evil one. That's why I was telling you now. Because what happens is that attitude of Cain made him just like Satan, his son of Satan. And why did he murder his brother? Because Cain's deed was evil and his brother's was righteous. That's the only reason we seek to do others wrong, is because they're better than us. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Now this is Jesus saying that in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter in the 44th verse, it says, ye are of your father the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees. And he says that you are of your father the devil. I told you, physically, you can become spiritually children of the devil because of your thought life. Because of the way you think, the way you do. Satan is the accuser of the brother. And that's why now, if somebody bring you something against somebody else or whatever, I wouldn't rush to make a judgment on it. I want to hear both sides of the matter. Because you could start becoming the accuser of the brethren through hearsay. So let me hear both sides. Another guy's side sounds right until you hear the other side of the matter. It's a whole different ballgame when you hear what the other guy has to say. But we can accuse other people and point the finger. Who's the accuser of the brother? Satan, right? That's the accuser. So Jesus says he was a murderer in the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. This person has been, if you look at the news, this person has been granted as the biggest liar of this season, of this political season, and told most falsehoods. I wouldn't want to follow a reputation like that. See, because Jesus says the transformation of our mind is what makes us children of God. The book of Romans, it says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't go along with what other people say. And a lot of people like to say what just comes into their mind. The first thing coming to mind. You know, that's a dangerous thing, saying what's on your mind. That's a very dangerous thing, because some of anything will come in your mind. That's a garbage bin your mind is. You have to sort through it and bring out the nuggets, the true nuggets, because that mouthful will load you. Don't say the first thing come in your mind, what I was thinking. Your thoughts are evil. Your thoughts are wrong. You better watch what you're thinking and watch what you say. Don't say everything coming in your mind. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A lot of people say, because I think, well, no, don't say everything you think. You have to renew your mind. You have to think before speaking. Before you throw that mouth in gear, think about it. Be patient. Think of a reply. Think of something to return and say that's good, that's honorable, that's pure. Out of your mouth shouldn't just spew any garbage. You shouldn't speak evil of any man. You shouldn't run down your brother, because you could murder a person's reputation. You could murder a person by destroying his reputation. That's what they did, Jesus. They attacked his reputation. They called him a fornicator, that he was born of fornication, that he did all these other things, and that he was a Beelzebub because he drunk. He was a wine bibber because he was seen with sinners. See, our brother's security is in our hands also. And you see, notice Cain, his line says, Is it my job to keep up with my brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Or his guardian? Yeah, you are your brother's keeper. You're supposed to look out for your brother's well-being. Who is my brother? Your neighbor, whoever is there. Your neighbor should dwell safely and securely by you. So Esau was wrought at these people, and when God was allowing the Chaldeans to destroy Israel, Esau rejoiced in this and he wanted to go in and get some of the plunder. He was taking pleasure in the destruction of his brother. That's why God was judging him. You see, when something's happened to Assyria, when something's happened to those Syrians over there, when something happened to the Hispanic, when something happened, you have to, the mercy of God should be in you and looking at those 3 years old and 5 years old. And they say, well, we should reject them. We shouldn't let them in. But they're on the run for their lives. God said these people were fleeing for their lives and you were taking advantage of them, Esau. That's why he was judging Mount Seir. It's the same as the United States today. And the politicians and your leaders are convincing you to hate these people. But not let them flee. If their homes being bombed, is their lives being torn apart, you have to protect what's yours and protect your life and protect this with your guns. Your security is in yourself and not in God. You're hypocritical to your own constitution. You should take the Statue of Liberty and throw it in the Pacific Ocean. If you don't believe what you state, if you're not believing or standing for something, it might cost you your life. Defending your brother might cost you your life. Though you trust someone, they can hurt you dearly. But believe me, your children can hurt you dearly, don't you? But what happens though, you still have to love your kids. You have to love your children. But that's when they hurt you the most. When we are open, that's why we have to seek God for Him to keep us whole, for Him to keep us strong. Because we can't grow weary of doing well. We can't grow weary of helping others. We can't turn a blind eye to this and let no man preach or teach this to you. That's not like the body of Christ. It's a self-sacrifice in love. It's a self-sacrifice, not for yourself. Give me a second. I might be wrong. Let me examine this. Before you lash out at somebody, think about what you're doing. Think of the implications it makes. He says if you do well, your sacrifice will be accepted. But see, what happened was he didn't do well. He didn't go away and contemplate and think about God. He lied to God. He said, I don't know. See, you can't lie to God. God knows the intents of your heart. A lot of us are self-centered, and you don't think God sees your motives. That's why Jesus said, you go about to kill me. They were really hurt, and they were really shocked because he was reading their minds. See, God gives his children the ability to discern spirits. See, but the reason you can't discern who's doing you wrong and what's going on, you part of them. You just like them. You scheming and conniving with them. You accuser of your brother. So God's not empowering you to walk in this light because you're not trying to be a light. You're trying to pull down and debase your own brother. You're trying to get what's his. You want his oil. You want his wife. You want his popularity. You want his power. You want his money. You want things from him. It's covetousness what's causing you to have the doors of heaven shut under you. That's why the blessings are not flowing to your life. Because you hate your brother. And then Cain was his blood brother. Abel was Cain's blood brother, and he killed him. Remember I told you that Jesus' brother didn't serve Jesus while he was here, and those were the ones criticizing. But after conversion, look at their statements. After conversion, look at their statements toward their brother here. This it says Jude 1. Jude 1 says, this is a letter from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James. He acknowledged that James was his brother. But I'm not on the level with my other brother. I'm his slave. I'm his bondservant. See, I did him all kinds of wrong, but I'm reckoning the fact now and telling you to contend for the faith once delivered for the saints. According to my brother, I'm a slave to him. See, that's what a lot of people didn't understand about the wasteful son or the prodigal son.
That's why the father had to straighten that older brother out. Say, well, look, you too self-centered to rejoice that your brother's home? All that I have is yours. In other words, he was in the place of Joseph. Joseph was over all of Egypt. So his brother's lives was in their hands, their livelihoods. He had to ration out to them. He was what was sustaining them and keeping them alive. So why shouldn't he be generous and why shouldn't he be like God? That's why God is not placing you in charge of a lot of things. It's because you have bad thoughts. You want to level the playing field. You see, but this son had to learn that all he had was his father's. Now it's his, and that son that was lost, he was eating out of the pigsty. So you mean to tell me when your brother comes home, you don't want me to kill a fatted calf? He's got to live off of you now. You have to take care of him now that I'm gone. You are your brother's keeper. But you go marrying these old halfway Jezebel women like Esau did. He did this to spite Rachel. He did this to spite his mother. He married these women that they didn't see the children on holidays. She knew she wasn't going to be able to see her grandchildren when they got ready. She said, Lord, it's going to break my heart if Joseph do this, if Jacob do this, send to our people and get him a wife, one that's going to follow God, one that's going to raise the children right. It's going to break my heart if he marry all these Hittite and Hivite women that Esau did, because your wives draw your heart away from God. That's why you don't see your children, your grandchildren. That's why your sons and daughters turning on you. They're becoming like Ahab because Jezebel has them serving her gods. God's going to deal with this. God's going to deal with all these wayward women. He's going to deal with all these inconsistent and spineless men. It's going to be a day of judgment. But see, we didn't preach and teach this. It's a lot of people I'm always talking to. And you know, once they in front of you, you write, Reb, you write this and that. But there's going to be a day of reckoning. And then when they come back to you, they want to make it right. Then, but no, you're saying that because you're under pressure. Now it's the judgment of God is up on you. I guess I am right, huh? See, I'm not going to gloat over that. But see, now you've got to deal with the consequences of you not listening. See, you got to deal with the consequences of what happens to you in old age if you married the wrong women and didn't raise your children right. You got to deal with the consequences of bad relationship. You got to deal with the consequences of the crowds you ran with, of your health and the things you've done, because you were warned along the way. You see, Esau, Mount Seir is having to deal with God. Now, you don't want to deal with God. As the steward who wasted his talent and went and hid it, he said, I knew you was a hard, just man. If you knew God was the way God is, shouldn't you serve God by His Word now? Shouldn't we walk in His Word? He said, this is the way to know that they are my disciples, that they continue in my Word. As to his brothers and sisters, they say, your mother and your brothers out here waiting on you. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? But he pointed to the people inside where he was. He said, behold, my mother, my brother. In other words, those that do the will of the Father, those are my brothers. See, because you won't have that brother in the next life. But the brother that's in the will of God, he's eternal. You have eternal life now. You just have to get used to it if we're not together. If we can't have fellowship now, we won't have it in the next life. You will be bound to those that you're bound to in this life. What's bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So if you're not bound to God's Word and God's people now, you can't be in the next life. That's not the love of your life. Watch it now. See, that security is in your brother. James said in the book of James, James also was the Lord's brother. And James says, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He says, a servant of God. We are servant of Jesus Christ. He didn't say to my brother, see, a lot of people like to use nepotism, like to use their connection. You don't ask my brother, that's my cousin. No, not so with God. Jesus Christ is different. He's our Lord and Savior. He's our God and Master. We're His servants. He did something we couldn't do. We need to walk as He walked. That's the mind to have. That's what they had. When Paul came to Galatia, he says, when I came and seen the Jerusalem council, he says, but other than the apostles, so I none, save James, the Lord's brother. See, it was the rest of them that respected Jesus' family, because Jesus, when he was on the cross, who did he turn to and says, Mother, behold thine son? To John, didn't it? It wasn't to none of his brothers. Why would you put your family in a sinner person's hand? See, at that time, he was showing that she was to stay bonded with his disciples. Mary was to stay bonded to his disciples. See, because you, even though your people may have good intentions, the highway to hell, hell is paved with good intentions. It's not our thoughts and our intentions. You want life to be like you want it, but it can't be that way. It has to be the will of God. You have to learn the will of God. Betrayal becomes the norm during these turmoil-filled days. You should look for them to turn on you. Don't be hurt when they turn on you, when your children turn on you.
When they don't do what you want them to do. When they're not walking in the way you want them to walk. When they don't live the lives you want them to live. Don't be hurt. He says in the book of Mark, the 12th chapter of Mark, the 13th chapter of Mark, I'm sorry, the 12th is the 13th verse. He says, now a brother will betray his brother to death, and the father the son. Children will rise up against their parents and will cause them to be put to death. You will be hated all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. See, a lot of people go against God trying to keep the family together. You see, but that's part of the vision. He's the son that swore. Standing for God's will cause a lot of people not to walk with you. It's going to cause a lot of people not to associate with you. And a lot of people go betray you. Jesus was betrayed by his own friend. His own people that were with him. It was the Jews who betrayed Jesus. It was one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who turned him in for 30 pieces of silver. Sometimes it's those that's closest to you that turn on you, that hurt you the worst. But that's going to happen. You know, Moses had said, when the people were in the wilderness, Moses had went up to the mountain. And when he was up on the mountain, the people started to party and started to do other things. But see, this judgment that's on Esau, you're not going to be like the United States of America if you stand up and talk about the judgment that's coming on Americans that's doing this. See, Americans think they're free from it. But the division and unity could be right here in this nation also. You're not above other nations. In a lot of ways, you're worse than other nations. Just like Israel was when they were brought out. And they seen God brought them across the Red Sea. They turned to pagan idolness, idolatry, idolatrous practice, just like that idolatrous holiday we had yesterday. And they worship other gods. That's why when Moses came down from the mount in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, the people were having all kinds of enjoyment. And God said, read this in two different versions. Here's the King James Version first. The 32nd chapter, 27th through the 29th verse of Exodus. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate to the gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Paul referred to this in the book of Corinthians. He says, every man go in and kill your brother and sisters and all your people that are doing this. He says, this is in the modern version. The modern version reads, he said to them, thus says the Lord God, the God of Israel, every man fasten his sword on his side and go back and forth from the gate to the gate throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor.
The Levites did according to the word of the Lord, and about 3,000 people died that day. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow a blessing on you this day. For every man opposes his son and his brother. What gives here? Are we to kill our brethren today? Are we to kill our brothers and sisters? Didn't Jesus say, take up the sword? Now the Bible, a lot of Christians don't understand this. What's the sword? The word of God. That's the sword we wield in the last days. He's not talking about physically go out and killing your brother. That's murder. But we're to give them the word of God. He says, think not that I come to bring peace. I came to bring the sword. See, as born again believers, he had given us the gospel in the beginning. That's the word that he had given us. We preach the word of God. That's going to cause a division when we stand up for the things of God. But that's the rod that he's ruling all nations with. The word of God. That's what has to rule your life. But people don't want the word of God to rule their lives. That's what caused the division. That's what caused the separation. That's what causes the sanctification, is wielding the word of God. He says, take unto you a sword. That divides asunder. That divides those homes. That divides all kinds of things. The word of God divides, it cuts asunder. What happens, I said about cutting asunder, God's bringing the judgment. He's bringing it on your brethren now. And that's Mount Seir. That's Esau. So when we see judgment coming into the world, we have to be careful how we approach it. We only can approach it through the counsel and the word and through prayer. Because we might happily be fighting against God when things going on in my son's life, in my daughter's life, any of their lives, my wife's life, in my life, in any of the congregation. I have to pray and intercede according to the will of God. Because what's happening, God, through his sovereign control, is allowing all things to happen. He's bringing about his will. God's busy within the earth. So don't think you're suffering what you shouldn't be suffering. It's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. He will break the band of unity. That's what I was trying to tell you about this politician that says this. A lot of this, he's doing the will of God. He's like the Syrian. He's like Balaam. He's like Caiaphas. He's like a lot of people that's wicked do the will of God, not knowing they're doing the will of God. The Babylonians did the will of God. It was because of their nature, but God figured their nature into his plan. So they brought about this accomplishment. What God's doing now is breaking the band of brotherhood. Through judgment, he's breaking that band of unity. See, common grace is being lifted in this last day. All men was under the common grace of God. But now that judgment is coming, he's breaking that band of brotherhood. Look at Zechariah, the 11th chapter. The 6th through the 15th break verse. So, you remember I tell you sometimes we shouldn't try to hold together. As Paul said, the unbelieving spouse leave, let them leave. See, sometimes some things is meant to happen. It happens for the better. That's why it says all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. So different tragedies and calamities happen. Have not evil been done in the city and the Lord had not caused it? You see, all that's a part of God's will and God's plan. God does his plan. So don't try to think we serve some soft God here. God brings about the will of God. He says, Zechariah, for I will no longer have pity on those who dwell in the land, says the Lord. But I will cause each of them to fall into the hands of his neighbor, even into the hands of his king. They will crush the land and I will not deliver any from their hands. So I shepherded the flock that was for slaughter, even the afflicted of the flock. And I took for myself two staffs. One I called favor, and the other I gave the name union. So this is grace, and this is union of peace. He's breaking the brotherhood of man here. He's lifting common grace. He says, so I pastored the flock. I destroyed the three shepherds in the span of 1 month. For my soul was impatient with them, and their souls detested me. Then I said, I will not shepherd you. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. Let those who are left devour each other's flesh. I took the staff named Favor and cut it into pieces to break the covenant that I had made with all the peoples. So it was broken that day, and the afflicted of the flock were watching me and knew that this was the word of God. Then I said to them, if this is good in your eyes, then give me my wages to me. But if not, then keep it. They weighed my wages at 30 pieces of silver. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the splendid price by which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the house of the Lord, to the potter. Then I cut asunder the second staff, union, in other words, brotherhood, to break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. This is to break the brotherhood between the world and the Christian people, between all God's, the union of man. God's going to allow that to come about, this division. He says, then the Lord said to me, take for yourself again the vessels carried by a foolish shepherd. I am raising up a shepherd in the land who will, listen now, I'm raising up a shepherd who will not care for those who are perishing, nor seek the young, nor heal the broken, nor feed those who are standing still, but he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear the hooves in pieces. So God's causing this separation. God's causing this division. And God's people understand what's going on. You remember at the beginning, I told you he gives understanding to his spiritual people. The people of the flesh, the professors of faith, the church at large, who have ministers of Satan as their ministers, transform into ministers of light. They won't understand. This is the fallen and the backslidden church. He's going to raise up false shepherds. He's going to raise up Antichrist. He's raising up corrupt political leaders. All these people, this strong delusion, he's sending about that the people should believe a lie. Like I said, the percentage of the people that are following certain politicians, that are following certain religious leaders, they need to be damned, he said, that they be lost. Because they love truth, or they love darkness rather than light. The intents of their hearts wicked. They meant it for evil. These people mean it for evil. So God's bringing judgment. Esau has to be judged. He's judging Mount Seir for the wickedness of their heart, for what they have done and what they intended on doing. God knows the intent. That sword cuts to the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intentions, what you meant to do. See, it was revealed to Joseph already. The brothers weren't pulling a wool over Joseph's head. God had him to where he understands. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil. Don't come trying to act like you did me a favor. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. People will mean evil against you, though God turned that to good. His word says all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. So down here, I suffered a lot. My health failed me a lot of times. You know, my finances failed me a lot of times. Things ain't going right for me a whole lot of time. But believe me, what did Job do? He said, though he slay me. He had lost his sons and daughters. You may lose your family, but you stand with God. Stand in God's word. Continue. He said, these are my brethren who do the will of God. Without murmuring and complaining. They're going to walk in God no matter what happens to them. No affliction, no height, no death. Nothing shall separate me from the love that's in Christ Jesus. The sanctification, the reason the believers are separated from their brothers is because of the word of God. This is the sword. Now, verse 11 through 15 again. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God. This is Ezekiel 11 through 15. I will treat you according to your anger and according to your envy, which you have showed out of your hatred against them. And I will make myself known to them.
Then you shall know that I am the Lord, and I have heard all the blasphemies which you spoken against the mountains of Israel. They are laid desolate. They are given to us to consume. All those that spoke wickedly of these foreigners, all those that spoke wickedly of these politicians that's trying to do good for God, all those that are God's people, but those that spoke arrogantly and presumptuously against them and judged them, not their turn. They will find out who God is when He deals with them. And a lot of people will be crying, oh, why is He doing this to the nation? Why is He doing this to the people? They have it coming. They have it coming. Judgment is coming. But see, He had given to Joseph to understand. He had given it to Christ to understand. He had given it to His disciples to understand. He had given it to us to understand. He does nothing without revealing it to His servants. He said, you are my friends if you continue in His word. So He's revealing it to His people. Now He says, 1 Thessalonians, here's your separation. You know what I told you? Sanctification separates you. It separated Jesus from His family. It separated Joseph from his family. He had to go through prison. He had to go a lot of things, but he was away from his family. It separated Abel from his family, but it did it in a Mars death. He died, but the separation was because he was doing good. His works was good, so Cain rose up and slew him. So I don't know how God's going to handle this in our lives, but this is what He says. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 6. And in this matter of sexual misconduct, no man shall transgress and defraud his brother, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we told you before and solemnly warn you. For God has not called us to impurity, but to holiness, to be dedicated and set apart by behavior that pleases Him, whether in public or in private, in any parts of our lives. So nothing is private. It's all sin that's against God. So whoever rejects and disregards this is not merely rejecting man, but the God who gives him his Holy Spirit to you, to dwell in you and empower you to overcome temptations. So when Paul told him in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 8 and 11, he said, "Don't, if a brother's a fornicator, idolater, separate yourselves from him. Don't be around that person." So this man that's preaching or teaching this separation, he has three marriages in his life. If you married and divorced three times, something has to be wrong there. God does not like divorce. Is this a leader you should follow? Does this guy preach loyalty? That's what I tell you. Is this loyalty? None of the divorces was about fornication, as was printed or stated. That's the only grounds God allows divorce, and that's only because of the hardness of your heart. So this is the kind of leadership you follow. Three-time loser. You decide. The state made a great mark this year. They didn't choose to go in the direction I thought they may have. So that means there's hope for some of the people of this state. There's hope for people, some of the people of this name. But we have to keep hoping and doing the right thing. We can't be conformed to the world. 2 Thessalonians 3rd chapter in the 6th verse. Now we command you, believers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by His authority, that you withdraw and keep away from every brother or sister. You remember I told you where the Bible commands separation from brothers or sisters? It's because of the word of God. He says, be ye separate, come out from among them, and I'll be a God unto you. He says, we command you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by His authority that you withdraw and keep from every brother or sister who leads an undisciplined life and does not live in accordance with the traditions and teachings that you have received from us. My brother called me the other day. He's been in Afghanistan. He lives in Georgia. He's been in Afghanistan. Seen him. You know, we see each other sporadically. He says, you're coming to the party.
I hadn't seen you in a while, big little brother. I said, man, I'd love to see you. I said, but I don't go to Christmas parties. I don't do Christmas. He said, it ain't a Christmas party. He says, if they look at it as a Christmas party, he says, I'm looking at it. Would you look at it as I want to see you, I want to treat you to dinner, and that this is a get-together brother. So it was me and all my brother was there. All of my brothers, which are older than me. I'm the baby now since my baby brother passed. He's no longer with us. So it was all of us, and we're sitting at the table. I said, you know what's strange about us table? Look at all us old timers here. We sitting here talking and discussing with one another, man to man, but look at the rest of the tables. What are they doing? These people hadn't seen each other in I don't know how long, but everybody was on their cell phone, texting and using their phone. You got people in front of you. Why aren't you talking to them? That's what the fellowship and the get-together about. But I told him, I said, you know, by living this life, in that whole party, which they were saying with their Christmas, did you know everybody that knows me, no one wished me a Merry Christmas or said anything to me about Christmas? One of my brothers said, hey, nobody said anything. I'm glad they hadn't come bother you about Christmas. If people know where you're staying, you don't have to worry about things. So we had a good time. We had good fellowship. And I was pleased and happy to see my brother. So I'm telling you that you have to use wisdom and discretion. So I'm not saying don't see your brothers and don't see your people. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what he's advocating. That's why I say you have some false professors, some people that's cold-hearted. But there are some Christians, you know, sheep are dumb animals, right? There are some people without any tact of diplomacy, and you preach and say one thing, you have to define the little nuances of these things, or they'll turn, you know, I got your robot or something, you know. You'll look for somebody to tear it head. That's not what it's about. Use wisdom and discretion. God give you that. He says, explaining this, he says, 2 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter, 14 to the 15th verse. I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worship idols or abusive, who insults or slanders others verbally or abuses them. Now we know that's describing the followers of these people that's following this guy because he verbally abuses everybody. Like I say, you don't have to be offensive to your brother. I wasn't offensive to my brother, and me and him met, and we enjoy. There's a way to do all things. Jesus went to the wedding. That was where he did his first miracle, was at the wedding of Cana. You don't have to, because that's a great opportunity to blend with the world and show them that God's left you in the world, but you're not of the world. You don't have to do what the people are doing just to be among the people. The autonomy of God's people is that we are in Christ. So, as a drunkard, he says, don't eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it is certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. So, what we have to do is learn to use discretion and not hatred of your brethren. Not going about where God's going to end up judging you for offending someone. That person may not understand Christmas. He may not understand Easter. He may not understand about eating the different meats. But a lot of people come down on the Islamic people because they don't eat ham or pork or whatever. That was a prohibition in the Old Testament. We know that food does not commend you to God. But that's no reason to go insulting those people and talking about what they eat. Food does not commend you to God. And it only can defile someone else's conscience. So if a brother don't eat meat or you don't eat this, you should have the wisdom and understand you're not the better if you eat or don't eat. That food doesn't commend you to God. So it's nothing to divide or cause hatred among brethren about. Okay?
drinking.
Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for their nauseous infirmities. God created all things, and he said, all things done in moderation.
Solomon said, it's nothing better for a man to do than eat and drink and enjoy the fruit of his labor.
But if your church preached teetotaler abstinence, it's no reason to go tell that man because he had a beer after work, he's going to die and go to hell. Because he's drinking liquor. That's not scripture. Drinking, I said again, food nor drink doesn't commend you to God. So that's nothing to go around the bars and places and tell people, you keep drinking that, you could die and go to hell. Those things don't commend you to God. To be wise to learn souls, we're not to go around judging our brothers. God, in effect, judges. At the end of life, a lot of people that are suffering from a lot of liver or kidney or whatever diseases, whether it was through some sexual acts or through drinking or whatever, that's the consequences of whatever that person did or whatever. We don't know how God has it facilitated for them to leave here. But that's not necessarily a judgment of God upon them. That may be the consequences of a lifestyle. But there are people who are 106 years old. I seen on television a couple weeks, a woman 100-some years old, and she said she had to have a pipe. And she drank a little nip every once in a while. So we can't use elements of things, but it's a lifestyle that commends us. Do this person have the love of God in them? Is this person always critical of others? Is this person always trying to take advantage of us? Does their life line up with God? Judgment of thine brother is dangerous. But judge ye not that you be not judged. And then we'll look at the scripture one of these days, that he that is scriptural, he that is spiritual, judge at all things. But see, there's a context for those things. See, a lot of people know the Word of God, but they don't understand the Word of God. And it's like all these teenagers and everybody around here with all these guns that's doing all this killing and everything. That gun could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing in the wrong hands. But can you judge whether to take life or leave life? Is that life worth taking just because you have a gun? You know, I told you the other day that I caught this guy leaving out of my shed and had a saw and he dropped it. Eventually, he came back for the saw and stole it a second time. But, you know, in this life, I was talking to my wife. She's talking to some other people about it. I don't know what I would have did if I'd have caught it the second time. Because God so changes you, I couldn't have killed it. And you know, to take something and really hurt him or something, I pray to God. You know, I pray, I'll tell you, that's why I use a lot of days for, that's different days we get to pray, corporate prayer. I just pray to God here. Because I'm not a judge of my brothers. Whatever happens to him, that's why when I read the paper or I hear things happening, it doesn't tear me all apart because God's in charge of that. You know, I read about this guy that got killed stealing a radio or stealing something this and that there. He may be one of these lists one of these days or whatever. But see, it's not by my hands. See, that's what Saul, David told God. He said, Saul would die one day, but not by my hands. He wouldn't kill Saul. He wouldn't touch God's anointing. So when people are doing all this and killing and evil, let it not be at your hands. God said, do not kill. Don't hate. If your enemy hungry, so let him have the saw. It's not worth it. I paid $30-something for the saw at Lowe's. I've cut different people's things with it or whatever. God bless me. Someday when I get ready for another saw, when I get ready to use it, I can go buy another saw. But see, God just judged him about that same matter. God's going to judge him by that. But I have to keep the disposition and attitude God give me to have about that. That's the difference in God's people. That's, we have to watch and not be conformed to this world's way of thinking. The world You know, it's a lot of men, a lot of different people tell me right now,
yeah, but if that had been me, this is what I'd have done.
And they'll try to make you sound wimpish, that you ain't nothing because you didn't stand up, that you didn't do this and do that. Those are the same people that, as Jesus was going to the cross, he wasn't fighting back and they were spitting and hitting on them. And he says, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they're doing. So that's what he's trying to put in his people. See, because when the judgment comes, when Noah did all that preaching, as we close, and on that ark, can you imagine the screams Noah heard? His Uncle Howard, some of his relatives, probably came beating on that door because they were close to Noah and they knew Noah. And they were saying, Noah, open up and let us in. This is your Uncle Ted. This is your cousin Larry. This is your brother's son. This is your brother. It didn't say about his brothers and sisters because none of them were saved, right? More than likely because of the way families reproduce. He had them. But just think, we don't know what a person's going through, and a lot of Christians fought Noah for becoming an alcoholic after the ark rested there on Mount. Moses became an alcoholic. Moses got drunk. But what had Moses been through? Who all he heard bamming on that door to get in that ark that was outside in that flood does things to you. My daughter was talking about Katrina. She was in the National Guard when they went down in New Orleans. A lot of the men was getting back in the truck. She didn't have to stay down there but a few days. But it does something to you to be a responder and to see all those dead bodies floating around. You know there were kids and children all out there in that flood. Out there in the waters of Katrina, they had a tent set up where they had thousands of bodies, decayed bodies, breathe. It does something to you. God's Word should do something to you. That if you've done all you can, you'll be at peace. You'll be at rest because there's nothing more you can do. As you get older, that's what older people do. That's how you get a peace in God. Is that you serve God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And nothing else you can do because, Lord, I've given all I can give. Out of that, it's in the Lord's hands. So when that brother is being judged, make sure you hadn't laid a stumbling block and laid art before your brother. In Jesus' name we pray about this sermon.